You might recall the other day I mentioned an observation that was made in the media by the Vice Chancellor of Monash University, Margaret Gardner, that 70% of Victoria's international students who come here from a wide variety of countries, 70% of them were still here during COVID-19. I think a number of us assumed that maybe they had been shut out when borders were closed, that they hadn't made their way back here in time by the time that first semester started, or was to have started at least on campus, and the COVID-19 regulations came in place. It's a really high number, which is surprising. A number of them are really struggling to get money because their casual jobs have dried up, working in cafes and bars and the like. They're struggling to provide themselves with housing as well. And as you may have seen online yesterday, and I'm sure this is, I fear this might be going on in Melbourne as well, in Sydney, there was a food line, a very, very long line of international students turning up at a well-known Sydney charity to get free food. It's a service that normally only works for indigent men and women, people who are homeless. But instead, you are seeing young, healthy, active international students who simply had nothing to eat. Well, the Australian Homestay Network has stepped in here in Melbourne, in particular, and around the country to deal with one aspect of the problems that some international students are facing, and that is of simply having a roof over their head. David Bycroft is the founder of the Australian Homestay Network. David, good morning to you.
Good morning.
I understand that you've had an incredible response by Australians all around the country who are willing to help out those international students who have been made homeless because of the economic crisis and COVID-19.
Yes, we've had a great response so far, and it's only getting bigger. But unfortunately, we expect the problem to get bigger as well as time goes on.
Tell me about the international students who find themselves without a home. What are their specific circumstances? What stopped being provided for them with the advent of COVID-19?
Yeah, so a lot of the students have been here for a while and have depended on their part-time work or casual work, which they're entitled to have to cover their living expenses. So typically they've paid their education fees, but they require part-time work to fund their living expenses, which includes housing and their basic needs of accommodation, food, water, etc.
So they had to move out once they lost that part-time work?
Well, they're out of money, so they're either staying in an unfortunate situation where there's an angry landlord, or they're just not able. They're moving into smaller units with lots more students, which will be a worse situation. So we ran a program about 8 years ago for asylum seekers coming out of detention. So we decided to try to see if there were the same, you know, loving Australians out there who would help in this situation. And we're getting really good numbers coming through all around the country.
What sort of responses can you characterise for us, the kind of people and the homes and the domestic situations that people are in that they're calling you about?
Yeah, the people who are offering to host an international student generally have spare bedrooms and are basically staying at home during this crisis and looking for a project. And the international students needing the basic needs, they need safety and they need, you know, some form of belongingness, taking it from Maslow's hierarchy. So we're trying to get them settled again and then get them back to, you know, self-esteem and self-actualization, get on with their study when we're all back to normal.
Are these people who have homestayed international students before?
Some are, but there's quite a lot of new ones that don't really want to have a homestay under normal circumstances, but want to do it just for the goodwill.
It's amazing, really. And also, I think it's interesting to reflect on the fact that many of us are justifiably anxious about infection and having people over to our homes and the like. And we've pulled up the drawbridge during this time of lockdown. Indeed, we've been asked to do exactly that. It takes a certain mentality, doesn't it, to say to someone you've never met before, yeah, sure, fine, come and move in.
You know, the people that are responding are very interested in helping out, and they also understand that we'll be overseeing the whole program anyway, and we'll make sure that, you know, we minimise any risks there are. But look, nearly all of these students have been in the country for a long time and have been abiding by the same isolation rules we have been, so they're no more risk or less risk than anyone else from Australia.
Do you need more homes? Do you need more people to put up their hands and say, we'd be happy to homestay?
Based on the predictions the industry's making and the Victorian government's making, is that there could be thousands, meaning 20, 30,000 needing help in just a few weeks' time.
And are we seeing similar scenes here in Melbourne that I saw online yesterday in Sydney, with international students queuing down the street at a well-known inner city charity just to get food?
Yeah, you're going to see more and more of that, and you're definitely going to see a lot more homelessness. So we're trying, there are other people's children who trusted in Australia for their education and their community support. So we're hoping people put their hands up and help us solve the problem. Now, there is enough money out there. Victorian government and the universities are allocating a lot of money to support students. But one of the problems is that students don't make good decisions when they're under stress. They already have consumer protection issues, and many have mental health issues because of this crisis. So we're really trying to just say, hey, here's someone that will take you in for 4 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks at a very, very low cost, probably paid for by the education provider or the government.
And David, for those listening this morning, I'm already getting a couple of text messages from people saying I'm interested in getting involved. How can you assure people in their homes of their security, of the people who are moving in with them? Because if you have young children in the home, for example, you may have a concern around that.
Well, we've placed over 60,000 students since we started the organisation in 2008, so we're very experienced at managing any issues that may occur. There's full support and management, you know, available to both host and student, but also we have insurance, we have 24/7 lines, so we're right behind whoever takes them in. Now, we can't promise something might not go wrong, but what we do say is it's very rare for something to go wrong.
Is there screening done of the students before they come to your home?
We screen them as much as we can with the education provider to assure us that there's no, there's a genuine need first. We don't want students who don't have a genuine need, because there's going to be too many. But we're not doing any medical screenings.
Okay. I'm sure there'll be questions around that, and if people are interested, they can contact you, the Australian Homestay Network, and raise their hand if they'd like to help out. David Bycroft, good to talk. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much.
David's the founder of the Australia Homestay Network. If you look that up online, there should be a contact number for you there, and ask all the questions that you feel you need to have answered.